Hi folks, welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. With me on the show today is my friend Mike from the On Point Preparedness channel. And Mike used to be quite a regular guest on the A Minute to Midnight show, but we both saying off air, it's been ages since we've done a show together, so it's about time we actually did one. So it's great to be talking to you again, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Tony. We were just saying it's probably been at least a year or over a year, and we just had lots of things going on in both of our lives, and then obviously everything going on in the world has just hampered our ability to get together.
Yes, there's not a lot of good news out there, that's for real, but we have to keep our focus on the Lord and not get too down and discouraged ourselves, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be a big thing that we probably talk about today.
I think so. Just quickly looking at a few news things I see today, Dmitry Trenin from Russia, who's a member of the Russian International Affairs Council, saying Russia has made a decisive break with the West and is ready to help shape a new world order. Basically, Russia breaking with the Western countries and forming new alliances, or you know, strengthening the ones that they already have. So that's very interesting. And of course, you get that on the back of something that was said recently by Joe Biden's economic advisor, Brian Deese, you know, saying what we heard from the president today was about the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm. Biden was asked by a reporter, how long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay, you know, the big premium on gases and so on for this war? And Biden had responded, as long as it takes, insisting that Russia could not be allowed to win the conflict against Ukraine and then potentially menace other nations. So that's the one point of view. But, you know, going back to Dmitry Trenin, what he had said, he said, you know, that's the Russian International Affairs Council member, capitulating to the West is no option for Russia at this point. Things have gone too far. So you can see this great standoff occurring between West and East, and potentially hope no nuclear war results out of it. But it's, all of these things are on the table. It's not looking good, you know, in terms of there being a resolution to the conflict in the Ukraine, and so therefore, you know, they can use that ongoing excuse for the inflation and the gas prices and the energy shortages and so on and so forth. So that's that. And then global famine is not just a theoretical scenario anymore. This is from Michael Snyder. The head of the United Nations just warned that we're heading into an unprecedented global hunger crisis, and people are already dropping dead from starvation in Africa. The world faces the prospect of a mass starvation catastrophe driven by unprecedented food shortages, UN Chief Antonio Guterres warned a few days ago. There's a real risk that multiple famines will be declared in 2022, he said in a video message to officials from dozens of countries gathered in Berlin. And 2023 could be even worse, he says, and we know that Guterres is a proponent of the Great Reset. So that's just in a nutshell, a few little things. And then, of course, you know, it's the 4th of July over there, and there's the news of that shooting, Mike, in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Man, there's not a lot of good news.
Yeah, and the news cycle, again, at least here in the States, right, a lot of people have been focused on inflation and the war, but then it seems like there's a whole bunch of race issues that are popping up again, and obviously some of the Supreme Court rulings that are just furthering tensions. It's not good, and just as you said, if we're not focused on the Lord during this time, everything going on will just wreck you. I mean, it will really wreck you if you get focused on it too much. I honestly just need to draw back a little bit from time to time, because it is starting to impact me and you know, my attitude towards things. But you know, when we were talking off air, the interesting thing is, you know, everything that's happening is global. You know, it's one of the reasons why I think that we're the terminal generation. I don't know when this ship breaks down. I think we all know that it's going to.
Yeah.
Everyone really always wants to know, like, when, you know, even if it's just opinions, right? People just want to know, when do you think? I just remember when COVID first started, I was like, okay, this is it. You know, right when they started the lockdowns, and at least here in the States, people were raiding the grocery stores. I was like, wow, we're finally here. This is it. And I started doing a little bit more heavy prepping back then. I started getting canned goods and things like that. And here we are, you know, 2+ years later, and some of those canned goods that I stored, they're past their best buy dates. And sort of think back at, you know, how I felt and everything that was going on during that time. And, you know, I was so sure that, wow, things were really going to kick off, but it still held off. And here we are, you know, 2-some years later. I mean, it's worse. It's way worse. And again, I'm here thinking, oh, this really can't go on for that much longer. But every time I keep on getting surprised. That's not to mean that we should be complacent at all. But I think it's, for me, it's just a learning that I need to be patient and just need to be balanced, you know, regarding how much news I subject myself to, how much prepping I do. That's something I've been talking about on my channel a lot, you know, prepping in faith, because there's a big difference between prepping in fear versus prepping in faith. You know, the Lord says explicitly, I think it's in one of the synoptic gospels in Matthew, just talking about, do not be anxious, you know, for what you are to eat, you know, talking about how he cares more for the sparrows, or he cares more for you than the sparrows, and even they have enough to eat. And so I've really been contemplating on scriptures like that, that, you know, we can't worry, or we can't be anxious, but we need to prep according to how the Lord leads us. There's some of us that are well off, and I believe that the Lord is leading some of us to prepare, and it's more than likely going to be more than for just ourselves and our families. At least it should be. And when the time comes, hopefully your flesh is not a stumbling block and you actually give to other people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ when they're in need. But for the other people that are not as fortunate, you know, they have a very difficult time right now. I was reading a post where it was Economic Ninja. Do you listen to him at all?
No, I haven't.
So he's just an economic guy that goes into all the truth or financial stuff. And I was just scrolling through the comments on his page, and this one person said, wow, it is really bad, and I wish I had more money like the rest of you guys, but I'm pretty poor, but, you know, the Lord will guide me through this, I guess. He's like, but my mom bought me a canner recently, so we got that, and hopefully our garden does good. And I don't know, that just really impacted me, right? Like this one guy, you know, doesn't really have anything, has a garden, really happy about just getting a canner, and that's all he's got. And he's just praying that the Lord leads him through it and guides him. And so, yeah, we all have to just go about this in faith. And everyone's faith in the matter is not going to be the same. Some people, it's going to be still because they don't have the means to. Other people, you might be buying tons of stuff, and, you know, the Lord's going to use you to help multiple people. And, you know, these faiths may all come together where, you know, the Lord uses everything, you know, for the good of his children. So that's just one of the main things I've been contemplating on is, you know, don't be running out buying things in fear. Because I've done a little bit of both, right? Like I look back at my channel and how it started, On Point Preparedness. I was all about prepping, and then I got saved, and now, you know, this channel seems to be a blend of both, and it's sort of a calling, I guess you could say. But even though it's you know, a calling to prepare, I just want to be balanced in making sure that people know that, you know, you have to do it in faith. You have to do it in faith and not in fear, because I've done purchases that have been fear-based, and I look back at it like, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. But overall, I think, you know, the prepping that I have done has been in faith, but fear has gotten in there a lot of times.
I think it's very easy to do that, especially, you know, when you some new round of bad news happens and you realize far out this is really accelerating, and you can start thinking, oh no, I haven't got this and I haven't done that, and you know, you can get fearful and begin to panic, mm-hmm. which I don't think is good, but I do believe it's good to be prepared, but and we should be preparing as best as we can, but I don't think fear is a motivation that actually guides us to make wise decisions anyway. So yeah. It's much better to be in faith and trusting God for guidance and just doing things methodically, I think. But yeah, I can fully appreciate what you're saying, how easy it is to become fearful. Because, I mean, let's face it, if you're really looking at everything that's going on, the writing's on the wall that we're probably going to be facing some very, very challenging situations, even more challenging ahead. I mentioned to you off air even just the diesel situation, you know, like the world runs on diesel. And for example, there's price increases on the cost of diesel, which have to be passed on to consumers. But not only that, but shortages of diesel itself, even more probably critical than that, is potential shortages of the oil that they use in diesel, which has to be changed quite regularly, and the additives that make up that oil. I think the factories that make those additives, a lot of them have gone. Mm-hmm. So there's potentially a bottleneck happening in the not-too-distant future with the struggles to get oil. And then there's the additives for the exhaust as well. So, I mean, that's three things just in diesel. You imagine if the diesel was to break down, the diesel supply or the oil for the diesel trucks, people just think, oh, it's just some trucks or whatever. But everything runs on diesel, even your trains that run, you know, your freight trains are diesel. The gas
that gets to your gas station gets served by diesel.
Exactly. So it's like potentially... Boy, and that could happen fast and it could happen bad, and it could be mass chaos if that side of things breaks down. So, we should be prepared, but I think it's better to be prepared ahead of time rather than be fearful at the last minute realizing it's too late.
that's a good point, right? Being prepared ahead of time, you have the luxury of time, where you can methodically choose to be fearful or to seek the Lord's counsel on whether or not you should buy or not to buy something, right? Yeah. Like we've been doing a little bit here and there. And, you know, sometimes I watch a lot of these channels and they're all saying, stack it to the rafters. And, you know, you see some big news thing come out and you're like, oh, okay, well, I got to go run out there. So there are some fear-based moments, but you know, we do have the luxury of time to be able to be still, seek the Lord, see if we should really be doing this or that, and then decide wisely. Versus what you said is, if you don't do anything, and I'm speaking more to the people that have the ability to do something and they don't, right? I'm still keeping in mind the faith of people that don't have a lot, and the Lord's maybe telling them to just be still and be calm, and I'm going to take care of you. But for the people that do have the means and just say no, there is that opportunity to be fear-stricken, you know, when it does come your way, you know, when the shortages do hit hard. And COVID was were the grocery stores like that in New Zealand when the lockdowns first started? Did people raid them? Because I know here in the States they were. Like, I was in the middle of it where the everything was bare.
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, the whole toilet paper thing was the first thing that we all mm-hmm. noticed, which the media drove that one, you know. But I've noticed that there are still times where the grocery stores has a lot of stuff missing, and less brands and less choice, and often a lot of empty shelves. They do seem to end up being stocked up again, but. I keep an eye on it. I really do. And of course the price is going up, but people do get into this panic mode where, they start running out and trying to get everything. And then you notice little signs appearing on the shelves, you know, a limit of two items per person of this particular product or whatever it is. So they start rationing that way. Speaking of rationing, of course, like I'm noticing they're talking of rationing in Europe a lot at the moment. Neither of us is in Europe, but, you know, there's a lot of listeners that are. And rationing food in some countries, rationing oil and petrol and diesel and so forth in some places, and also the use of natural gas and hot water, for example. I noticed they're talking in Hamburg in Germany about potentially rationing the amount of hot water people can use, and then they're saying it's all, you know, because Europe's trying to get away from their dependence on Russian gas, so they're cutting out, you know, the whole use of Russian gas as much as possible. But all of this is just wherever it is. And oh, another thing, you know, Lake Mead in America, you know, look at the levels of that. Just an article, where is this? I'll just pull it up quickly from the Daily Mail. Second World War landing craft emerges on bed of Lake Mead as water level drops to the lowest in more than 50 years due to mega drought. And basically this boat, Higgins landing craft, was previously about, get this, 185 feet below the surface of the lake, but it now rests halfway out of the water. That tells you how much that lake has dried up, and of course that's going to impact people's water supply and power generation. And, you know, it's just like all of these things dovetailing to, you can see a major, you know, storm approaching in terms of everything converging.
I think this is, I think this is all from the Lord, right? Like, we know that Christians have been saying, oh, how long is this sin going to go on for? How long are, you know, if the sin is just becoming rampant, especially in the U.S. and Western countries. And, you know, I'm not going to say that we are in the tribulation and judgments are here, but, you know, I think this is all the start of judgment or discipline by the Lord, you know, for the sins of the world. I think there's a chance for people to come to repentance, but, you know, unfortunately, people are just getting more angry, right? A lot of people aren't really seeing the Lord in all this, at least people of the world. You know, my prayer is, even though these are hard times, and they'll get harder, you know, that in that hopelessness, in that time of suffering, when people can't even depend on themselves anymore, that they reach out to the Lord, and then they reach out to God, you know, to help them, and they get salvation. But there's things like the baby food shortage. I know people personally that were running around trying to get food for their infants, and they couldn't find any. And so, I mean, things like that, it really drives you to hopelessness, right?
Mm.
Even if you prepared, I think even us, right? Even people that are well prepared, what's coming, I think, is it's going to be, I mean, Scripture says, right, that this is going to be like anything, unlike anything the world has experienced before, including like Noah's flood. And I think we're all going to be very humbled. we're all going to be very, very humbled. Me and a whole bunch of my friends, we're just thinking, you know, just like Israel throughout the wilderness, the Lord sustained them, but that doesn't mean he gave them everything that they wanted. You know, they had manna for quite a while, but then they grumbled, and the Lord was not very pleased with that grumbling. But even with the grumbling, he gave them meat. But again, it was very, very basic. And I honestly think that we're going to be going into a time like that where, you know, we have so much choice. I mean, if you just think about everything that the Lord has blessed us with right now, we have so much choice. I mean, any particular food that you can think of, or just commodity, there's so many choices. There's so many brands, and it's all going to go away. And
the thing is, we're lucky in the West that we've got that. But if you think about it, there's a lot of other countries, like in Africa, for example, where people starve to death and can't get anything. And it's so far from our reality, or has been so far from our reality to this point. But what about the future? Interesting, I think one scripture that I often contemplate is when Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. And you know how easy it is to get frustrated and angry and depressed. And, you know, the danger is that even the people, you know, well, even us, could we become those people whose love grows cold, you know? And I think that's a scary prospect. I don't want to be one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we just need to really just be focused on the scriptures, be focused on fellowship, and, you know, orienting ourselves to the Lord, because there's no shortage of things to make you mad.
Mm.
There's just what the governments are doing and continue to do, decisions that they make, you know, it's just making people angry. You know, they're obviously setting up this whole left-right paradigm. You know, one of the things, talking about the love of many wax cold, is, you know, for so long, we've seen a lot of people on the conservative right, you and me talked about Trump a whole lot, where the right was positioning themselves, the conservatives were positioning themselves as, you know, the guardians of light or you know, servants of righteousness on the right hand side versus the evil NWO left. And certainly, you know, face value, that the leftism is just it's outright evil. It's in your face evil. Yeah. There's no one really debating that. That at least, you know, has sound mind about these things. But, you know, the conservative right just has so much wickedness as well. And the thing that I fear is, you know, this whole left-right paradigm has really convinced people that, oh, yeah, we can't let this lawlessness go on, the evil NWO leftists. And obviously we see, like, the whole abortion thing going to the Supreme Court. And I think it stirs up a quote-unquote righteous anger, but it's gotten to the point where we just write people off, right? Like, we see, like, some of the most extreme videos online of these protesters, the leftist protesters, and it's like we need to just smite them. You know, I think the conservative right, we just need to smite them. We need to just destroy this whole thing. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, you know, I know a lot of these people are anti-Christian and they hate Christians as well, but they still need to be told the gospel, right? They still need to hear that message. And if I'm being filled with all this anger and hatred from the conservative right and just completely writing these people off, well, yeah, I wonder if that has something to do with that verse that Jesus said, right?
Yeah, actually, you're talking about these people needing to hear the gospel. I just suddenly was thinking about something I saw yesterday about somebody reading scripture. Where was it now? It was in Portland or somewhere like that. And 10 police officers come and arrested the guy, you know. There's all this anarchy going on. It was, I think it was Portland or maybe it was Seattle. It was somewhere anyway. And they, you know, send 10 police officers to arrest somebody for reading out scripture, but yet all these lawless people are able to get away with pretty much anything. And, you know, well, probably both those cities seem a little bit like that. It's crazy. It's just so upside down.
Yeah. But I think, you know what, even in these times, I mean, it's just comforting. I mean, I wish I had the verses up right now, but, you know, it talks about suffering for righteous sake and how that's such a blessing to suffer for Jesus just as he suffered. You know, even if there's all this hypocrisy and they're really not taking care of the true lawlessness and Christians are really being persecuted. I mean, there's still comfort for the Christian in that, you know. Just to know that, you know, Christ suffered for us, and, you know, our bodies are also a living sacrifice. And if we do suffer truly for righteous sake, truly for trying to love people and give them the gospel, well, it's okay if everything else happens, you know, that's unjust to us. Because in the end, you know, the Lord has the final say, and, you know, we'll be rewarded.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yes. You had a really good scripture in Psalms that you shared with me before. Have you got that in front of you?
Oh, yeah, just about prepping and things like that. There's two. So I was joking with Tony because I have this 90-day on Bible.com. It's a 90-day plan to read the Bible, and it generally takes me over a year to finish that 90-day plan. So like I'm on my like maybe a third go around on this over like the past, oh geez, how many is it? 7 years or something. Mm. But I'm in the Psalms right now, and there was two that I really liked with regards to just the prepping. And the first one is, let's see here. I got three. So Psalm 33, verses 18 through 19 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine." So it's just always focusing on the Lord, and he will keep you alive in famine, similar to the verse that we were talking about in Matthew. Here's another one, Psalm 37:16. "Better is the little that the righteous had than the abundance of many wicked." So that's something I've been thinking about as well, right? There's tons of people that are just not right with the Lord. They got way more money than us. They got way more abundance than us. But it's okay. I mean, the scriptures say it's okay. Better is we that have little and are righteous in Christ versus the abundance of many wicked. And then the last one I have, Psalm 34, verses 9 through 10. "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." So referring to the young lions, it's really just talking about people of the world. They're, they're just toiling and chasing after things. But, you know, those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. I think in that verse in Matthew, it talks about, you know, the people of the world toiling. I really like that word, toiling after, you know, where they're to sleep or what they are to eat. But the Lord continually reminds us, you know, don't be anxious about these things and keep your sights on the Lord. And seek first the kingdom of heaven and these things will be added to you, essentially.
That's good. That is really encouraging and good advice. And talking about advice, also, I just wanted to briefly mention something else we were talking about off air. You know, like being prepared is important. And I think obviously stacking up food and all sorts of other things, there's lots of checklists of stuff that people can do to be prepared. But one of the things that people do and can potentially be a good thing, but I think also can potentially be a serious danger to the person in the event of a breakdown, is generating your own power, like, you know, having a generator and so on. And when it comes down to it, if society breaks down, you don't want to be the only house on a hill that's lit up like a Christmas tree, because you'll be a major target. I'm not saying you, I mean just people in general, anybody, you know, like, it's good to be prepared. But I think the practicalities of you know, power generating and also not wanting to become the center of attention in the event of major society breakdown is kind of important. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing overall are like energy wars at this point. And energy is just such a huge thing that, you know, just runs the world. And, one of the things I've been doing just to prepare for this is just looking at all the things that require electricity in our house. And I mean, really bare minimum, I think solar is something that anyone can get into. They make very small solar generators. If you save up, there's some that are under $200. You can get a small solar panel, but it'd be just enough to like charge your phones, which, you know, we can have useful information on our phones, apps and things like that, lights, and maybe some other small devices. And at bare minimum, I mean, that's really all you need. And if you're talking about bugging in, though, some of the, you know, looking at everything in my house that requires electricity and what I would need to power, really, aside from lights and maybe some electronic devices that have knowledge or data in it, the only things that we were really focused on powering up were the refrigerator and freezer, just to preserve foods. And if you think about like hunting, ongoing preservation of foods. I mean, we're like, okay, well, maybe we should get like a little bit of a bigger generator just for that. So, you know, we have a larger solar generator, and it's really just explicitly to just power those one or two things. This is a refrigerator and freezer. Nothing huge, because again, like you said, I don't want to have my entire house hooked up to solar, because then it's going to be extremely visible. Everything's going to be lit up. Like, I really just want just a couple things, and maybe the air condition. That'd be nice. But
those things all take a lot of power.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I had experience, though. Me and Tony were supposed to do this show like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And that's when that huge storm hit the Ohio area. And I was out of power for at least a solid 24 hours. And some people were out for like 3 or 4 days. So I got to test out my solar generator, and it did pretty good. It powered up things. But we also had a gas generator as well. And that was able to help just balance everything out, where, you know, if I needed to charge up the batteries on the solar generator and maybe there wasn't enough sunlight, I could just hook them up to the generator to power them up. But between those two things, we were actually doing pretty good. It was only for a little over a day. So I'd be curious to see, you know, how long it all lasts for an extended outage. But again, it's nothing crazy, you know, like, there's people doing way more. I mean, just outfitting their entire houses. Like I mentioned on my channel, you know, prepping was a very niche thing that you really didn't want to talk to a whole lot of people about. But now I'm looking at my neighbors, and they're all talking about collapse. They're all talking about prepping. I got one neighbor outfitting his whole house with solar. The other neighbor is doing all sorts of other stuff. And they're doing a lot. But me, you know, I'm just been doing this for so long. I'm just sort of steady as she goes, a little bit here, a little bit there. I think that's the best way to go about it. Even in the time that we're in, and just do a little bit as the Lord leads you, and it'll be okay.
The thing is, I know with solar, it takes a lot of solar panels really to generate, and batteries to store it, to generate and store enough electricity to run things. And of course it's weather dependent. Because in winter, when it's low light, if you know, which is here at the moment, you only get a certain number of hours to generate from the sun on some days. And other days, you know, okay, a lot of the modern solar panels, they still generate even when it's fairly low light, you know, but nowhere near the output of a sunny day, for example. So, and then, you know, you say your experience for a day and a half. You know, if you've got batteries and so on, well, they're going to be charged up and do that. But it's when you start getting past that period, it's like, all right, so then the rubber will really hit the road, you know, in terms of how much generating you can do. And then just on a practical point of view, you could potentially put fridges and freezers on timers, because they don't actually need to be running 24 hours. So you could have it, say, coming on periodically just to keep the temperature within a range. And obviously in winter, if you've got them in a place that's not part of a heated house, you know, that's going to be easier to keep things cool. There's a whole lot of those practical things to think on. I know a little bit, I don't know a lot about solar really, but I know a little bit from my own experience well, I won't go into too much details, but you know, how you have to kind of manage if you've got only small solar systems, those type of things, figuring out, okay, how can you maximize it to make it work for a longer period of time, so that your batteries are still getting charged and you're not running them flat by running a freezer or a fridge or whatever, and then you realize at night, oh, okay, there's no sun, so now your batteries are going flat. And there's a whole lot of those things that people really, you know, need to consider if you're going down that route.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and not to go into all the details about solar, because, you know, we could talk about that a whole bunch, but I bought this big Goal Zero 1250 Yeti like 10 years ago. And I'll tell you what, the technology really has improved a lot when I've been looking at something new to purchase. But I remember that back then, the max amount of wattage that you could put into that unit was like 240 watts. And just for an example, like a lot of the refrigerators and freezers, they run somewhere on like 160 to 250, like ongoing.
Yeah.
But not just right when it's being charged up, but like ongoing.
Yeah.
So, and if you think about that, you know, even if you got 240 watts, which you're not, you know, any solar panel you'll buy, just multiply that by 0.75, and that's about what you'll get at best. You know, there's a 25% loss generally.
Yeah.
So even on the best day, you're not even getting enough to power your unit, let alone save energy in your battery for the nighttime. But just to give you like a reference example, now they've got these portable ones where a lot of them can accept like 1200 or 2000 watts. And then even if you had like a generator to hook it up into, you could hook it up into your generator and have like a full battery within 2 to 3 hours. It's crazy the type of fast charging stuff that they've come out with. So yeah, we've been researching that and looking at it just to see, you know, how we can have some like supplemental energy. But yeah, technology has gone pretty far. I think for those on a budget, one of the things I've been looking at, there's a brand called Pecron, P-E-C-R-O-N. I'm not sponsored by them or anything, but a lot of preppers have been talking about that brand. A lot of people have bought it and have been reviewing it. It seems like a solid unit, but that's one of the more cheaper ones. And they have various sizes for all different applications. And even solar panels. I found some sites where you can buy used solar panels that still have a lot of life in them. And you can get like 100 watt or more, 135 watt solar panel for $65 each. I was like, oh, well, that's not too bad. So
yeah, a lot of those solar panels now have got like 25-year warranties on them too, which is...
Yeah. Yeah, they'll lose like, I don't know, they'll lose like 20% efficacy from when they were first manufactured after so many years. But yeah, it's just something to look into. It is pricey, but it's just nice to have a backup just in case.
Yeah. I think the thing is you need more than one solar panel. That's the reality is you need several, and you've got to figure out where you're going to position them and all of that type of thing. The other thing is cooking. It's probably a good idea for people to have some like LPG or, you know, some sort of gas cookers that don't require electricity that you can have running, you know.
That's the funny thing that a lot of these solar generator advertisers do is they like, you can hook in your coffee machine. You can hook in a burner for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reality. It's how quickly they use a lot of power. So that's why if you've got like bottles, gas bottles, and so, but of course, with this whole climate agenda and all that, they're trying to get people away from using, you know, gas powered things like that, like portable.
Yeah.
But that's all part of that whole nonsense.
I saw president of the some type of association that deals with wood stoves, but in Germany they said they're having a shortage of wood stoves because people are running to go buy them now. So I mean it's
You've got the restrictions on all of that with the for a lot of places with the emissions from wood stoves and all of that. It depends on where you are, of course. But heck, if you can have a wood stove, obviously that's a great thing to do. But they're very expensive to get a good one. But
I'll tell you a real quick tip. And I got a prepping video because, you know, whenever I started doing true ministry, I got a real conviction by the Lord to just teach and, you know, look more at scripture. And I sort of dumped the prepping off to the side, even though I talk about it every now and again. But a couple weeks ago, I did a video dedicated to prepping with a whole bunch of scripture as well to put it all in context. But in that video, talking about wood stoves, one option that people might have is if you look up hot tent camping, have you ever looked into that?
Is that a wood stove in a tent you're talking about?
Yeah. They make tiny little wood stoves that you can vent out of a tent, and people camp in sub-zero degree weather. And honestly, if because again, wood stoves, talking about US dollars, we got one, again, it was like about 10 years ago, but and for the installation as well, I mean, it's going to run you several thousand dollars. Yeah. So that's going to be out of reach for a lot of people. But those camping wood stoves, they still put off a lot of heat, and you can find them. I mean, granted, inflation has impacted a lot of things. They are more pricey than they were a couple years ago, but they're still maybe like $250, $300, $400. Yeah. Even if you watch like a lot of YouTube videos on these people that build their own little small cabins in the woods,
yeah,
like it still heats up these whole one room cabins too. Yeah. And you think, you know, if worse came to worse, you know, you could probably vent one of the, you could probably get some plywood and create something for your window and just vent that pipe out your window and just have your whole family secluded to one room.
Yeah.
And if you think about it this way too, in terms of like efficiency and how much wood you need to gather, right? If you have a wood stove and you're trying to heat your whole home, you need 2 to 3 cords of wood. And I think a cord is like what, 4 by 4 by 4 or 4 by 4 by, it's big.
Yeah.
It's like a 4 by 8 by 4 foot.
And it depends on the wood you're using too, as to how quickly you go through it.
Right.
Yeah. But it is expensive if you got to buy it, for sure.
But yeah, if you're heating your whole home with that big wood stove, you're going through tons of wood versus if you use one of these camping wood stoves and you're all within one room and you sort of put blankets over the doors just to insulate it and things like that. Well, then, you know, you don't have to store that much wood. You know, you could be a lot more efficient with how much you store, because, you know, people have limitations on space and all sorts of things. So
those little camping wood stoves are dismantleable too, and you can even carry them around in a bag.
Yeah. And if you look too, there's other options as well. Like there's tea candle heaters and kerosene. Some people use kerosene heaters.
Yeah, again, kerosene. I know from experience, and very recent experience, the kerosene's gotten so expensive. Like, whilst a kerosene heater will throw off good heat, you do use quite a lot of kerosene, and it's prohibitively expensive. So it's not something you'd wanting to be doing long term, unless you can get a good supply of kerosene that you can store and get it cheaply, because it does throw off good heat. You've also got fumes with it. But yes, Yeah, without going into details, again, I have a very old kerosene heater, basically at a cabin, and it's great for throwing off the heat, but it does throw off a bit of fumes, which means you need to have a window open if you don't want to gas yourself over a long period of time, which lets a bit of air in, and then there's a cost of it. But it's still all of these things are worth having for options.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely agree. But yeah, I think it's we know which way it's going. You know, a lot of us, for quite a while before all this stuff happened, we knew what time we were in. I think a lot of us knew we were the terminal generation. Now that a lot of this stuff is happening, it's quite eye-opening to see what might be on the horizon. But yeah, if I could just give people advice, it would be, don't panic. Seek the counsel of the Lord to see how he wants you to prepare or what he wants you to do. Yeah. Again, everyone's faith is going to be a little bit different. And just the other thing is, you know, everyone, there's so much going on in the world and people are so angry and mad. And there's obviously like a lot of depression going on.
Yeah.
And I mentioned too, like with all the governments, you know, governments are doing all sorts of things that are making people very angry. And I think a lot of anger also gets channeled into reviling government, which, you know, we're commanded not to do. We're not to revile. And I'm tired. I'm just tired of everyone being mad and angry. And I just think it really is the time to start focusing on the Lord and spreading the good news. I mean, the good news, just focus on the good news, because there's not much good news going on right now. It's all horrible. And I'm tired of being mad. I'm tired of being sad or depressed at everything going on. I think the good news is, you know, the Lord has every single one of us here for a purpose. And that's, you know, to lead the lost sheep back to him, you know, obviously through his grace, he empowers us to do that. He uses us to do that. But, you know, there's joy in that. And I don't want anyone to lose sight of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've got to do that first and foremost and be spiritually prepared. And then, yeah, be prepared physically as best as you can. Like you say, pray about it, how God wants you to do it specifically. And then, yeah, the reality is it doesn't matter, I guess, if people save their lives on a physical sense and are not saved spiritually, then they lose their life anyway. So it's much better to be spiritually in the right place, you know, salvation through Jesus Christ first and foremost, and then having a right attitude and saving our life spiritually, you know, than it is for the people that have all the money and preparedness and have the completely wrong attitude and are far away from God, because then we all still going to die one way or another sooner or later anyway. Yeah. So, and people do need to know the Lord, really. That's first and foremost.
And, you know, one quick prayer that I've been doing, if people want to have this prayer as well, is talked about prepping in fear versus prepping in faith, and how inevitably we probably do a little bit of both with everything going on in the news. And I've just been praying to Lord, because there's a pastor friend that I have over the next state, and me and him touch base every once in a while. And he was telling me how he bought like tons and tons of stuff, like tons of canned food, because he was preparing for his whole church. And he was literally storing food for his entire church, because he knew that they, not a lot of them had the means to, or they weren't doing it. So he wanted to prepare food for them. And so just like me, you know, when COVID first hit and he started, there was the lockdowns and things like that, he's like, this is it. this is it. So he started, you know, spending tons of money. And he said just recently, you know, all that stuff, he's like, he's giving it away to food banks now, which it's still serving a purpose.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all past his best by date. And he's like, I feel sort of foolish, actually. And he's like, I really wondered if maybe was that my flesh that was doing that? Or you know, was I really following in obedience to the Lord in buying all that stuff? And I've had those same thoughts too, you know, looking at some of the food that I've stored and it's all gone past the Best Buy. Yeah. And some of it, I know you can still eat it, but some of it is really old.
Yeah.
And I had to throw it away.
Know that feeling.
And so my prayer and little side tip, even if it is really not that good for you, heck, you could still use it for bait for hunting or something like that. But anywho, back on the main topic, I know that my prepping has been in fear and in faith a little bit here and there. And, you know, I know sometimes I felt a little bit of shame, you know, with things going bad. And so my prayer recently has been, you know, Lord, I'm trying to do things the right way. You know, I'm trying to prepare for my family. And number one, when this stuff really does hit, Lord, make sure I have a soft heart and I don't yield to my flesh to where I want to keep things away from people. You know, please give me a new heart, fill me with joy to where I can give people something and also spread the good news. Maybe that's like an opportunity for me to spread the good news, because I'm going to be able to help people physically. And that's going to be, you know, a way to, you know, gain access to their heart. So that's like prayer number one. Prayer number two is just, you know, just let it not be in vain, right? I just hope that, you know, a lot of things I've been storing, you know, I hope that it's not in vain. Lord, let me, you know, tee me up, Lord, that all the things that I've been storing, that I'm able to use them for some benefit, that brings people, you know, to you, essentially. So, yeah, we just do the best we can, but just don't get down and don't focus on the prepping too much. Just make sure that we're always in the scriptures and looking at how the Lord is teaching us through this whole thing.
That's good advice. So basically, for those that don't know you, and I'm sure many do, but for those that don't, where do they find you online, Mike?
I'm primarily on YouTube. So I have a couple videos on Rumble, but I don't do that too much anymore. That was just when my channel was under a threat from getting shut down. I do have a website. It's onpointpreparedness.net, but I haven't honestly done anything on there in maybe a year or months. So YouTube is where it's at. I've just been extremely busy. I'm only able to get out maybe a video every week. So that's where you can find me. And that's sort of the frequency where you'll find updates from me.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's been a really good discussion. I'm glad we had it. We'll have to try not to leave it too long till we do the next one, because this was well worth it. So thanks heaps for being on the show with me again.
Yep, thank you.
And folks, don't forget to visit aminutetomidnight.com, our website, and subscribe to us there. And also remember, A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. And if you want to help, it's always appreciated. And you can do that at our website as well. And the music used, I've written, played, and recorded. So that's it for this video. God bless, folks. And God willing, we'll be back with another show in a few days' time.